He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. Ahead on a day.
Welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. Cracking day there tomorrow at Royal Randwick. We've got the Spring Champion Stakes, Group 1 racing. Plenty of bets for me, Ray, to be had tomorrow as I bring you in. Doesn't get much better than this, mate.
Well, it does. Every state has come and gone. But yeah, look, it's a great end to the, well, not really end, because Randwick's still got the big dance in a bit over a week. But basically, Group 1 racing, as you say, finishes up. We've still got the Golden Eagle next week, which is really a Group 1 race, we know. Interesting looking outside. We've got the clouds clearing. We've had a 5 or 6 mils of rain overnight. Randwick was rated soft 5 this morning.
Yep.
Rail back into the true. Now, I've got a theory on this, and we'll see how
I like theories.
How it's going to play.
Yeah, I
like
last theories.
Time I remember us having a little bit of rain in the lead up to a race meeting when the rail was going back into the true. They didn't want anything to do with the inside section of the track. So I don't like predicting bias or patterns, but it would not shock me at all if they're just off that pad of grass that they've protected. And the theory here is that it's been protected so that the rain will seep into it a lot slower than the section of grass that's been galloped on, that's been opened up.
Yeah.
And that seemed to pan out. I think it was earlier in the spring or late winter, we had a day where there was a bit of rain leading into the race, but they didn't want anything to do with the inside. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a swooper's bias.
Yep.
If you're going to have a pattern, I think an offence pattern is the fairest.
Yep.
So
I think your theory's spot on.
Yeah. So
I think offence is definitely.
Wouldn't be surprised if we're a little offence, but not really expecting any serious bias. I think we'll probably even be back in the good four range by Saturday. But anyway, we'll...
Rail true, bit of sting out. They usually do on edge offer. I completely agree. Yeah. I think that's the pattern we'll see. And I keep saying it every week. These Sydney tracks have just been playing really well. So be confident to bet into them.
Definitely.
All right, the headline act obviously is the Group 1 Spring Champion Stakes. Short price favourite Tom Kitten is probably the main form line. There's most runners are coming out of that Tom Kitten race. And then there's a couple of angles possibly away. Ray, how'd you see it?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and tip against Tom Kitten, having been on him his last couple of starts, where he's been, as we know, pretty unfortunate not to win. And his performance in the gloaming, as we all saw, was remarkable. He's probably not going to have that kind of task this time around, although he did draw well and wasn't able to hold a forward position on that day. From barrier one, it'll be interesting to see where they have Tom Kitten landing. I would like to see him midfield at worst.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see Adam probably edge off the fence well before the home turn, but he's the jockey, not me. I'm not going to tip against Tom Kitten. I think if there's going to be a horse that beats it, it won't be out of that form line.
Agree.
And then if there isn't, then you have to pretty much go to the filly.
Yep. Yeah.
To La Vida. Fillies are starting to build a good record in this race, winning, I think, 3 of the last 6 from memory.
Yep.
Now, she ran well in the flight stakes. She's had a tick over trial since then. 2,000 metres, you would imagine, would be okay for her. Yeah, I think that if there's a danger to Tom, it's her. How did you see it?
Yeah, I'm with Tom. Look, I think he's probably around his right price, around getting more to that 6-4 mark. I think he's his right price. I think they actually might take a little bit of a set against him because they have got a lot of money out of Tom. So I think they could push him to around that 280 late. But you go back through all his runs this campaign, they've all had merit. I think this has obviously been the grand final all along for Godolphin. He won well first up when he had to give them weight in the up and coming. And then in the Ming Dynasty and Dulcify, he was caught wide out on a limb working in fast paces and just never shirked his task to the line. You documented it there in the gloaming. Just, it was enormous there in defeat. Gate 1, SP Edge, just looks the one. But the one at odds, because as you said, I was looking for a different form line because I think I can't tip anything to beat Tom out of that race. It was actually the New Zealand import Madatsu. Now, I know he only won a Kembla Maiden, but he's ticked that 2,000-metre box. And I've seen this type of New Zealand import come across maybe once further in time. But, look, I think he's $31 or $34. So I think if you're looking for something at a bit of value, you don't want to take the short odds Tom Kitten. maybe have something on him each way. But I think Madatsu's, and I definitely will be putting into my quaddie as well.
That's an interesting find, that one. Well, I hope the Tab take him on a little bit. I was listening to Tim Ryan on Formline last night. They wanted to cuddle him a bit early, so maybe they think he is the horse to beat, and they're not going to... I don't think he'll be their lay of the day, put it that way.
No, not from Barrier 1 either, yeah. They'll look for something else, so you'd have to think. Okay, the head-to-head comes in the invitation, $2 million invitation. I think they kind of picked itself this week, the head-to-head. They're right at the top of the market. Different form lines, Espiona and Magic Time. Espiona's 330, Magic Time 370. So not too much difference in the market. And Ray, I know you're really keen on one of these.
I am, but it's going to be interesting to see how the pattern of the day pans out, because I think it might be crucial, particularly to Espiona's chances. I'm with Magic Time, I think. The Imitation is a $2 million race, and obviously it's an attractive race, but you go through that field and tell me who's been aimed at the race. And yep. I'll tell you only one horse has been aimed at this race, and it's Magic Time. Speaking to Graham Begg before she won the Nivison, basically he was saying he sent her up here to win the Nivison to get an invitation.
Yeah.
So he's had his eye on this race since the start of the preparation. All due respect to the rest of them. You know, Espiona's running an Everest. Alcohol Free's running an Everest. Opal Ridge's goal was the Kosciuszko. Some of these others have been... Osbred Flirt's going up through the grades. You know, Banana Queen's a group winner earlier in the carnival. Magic Time's got that sense of timing about her. And she's got the tactical speed.
Yeah.
That'll put her on the pace. Now, there's potential here for good speed, and there's potential here for just her and Parasail to pair off as like they did in the Nivison. So I'm not really concerned about the wide gate, even and particularly if the fence is a little bit of a no-go zone by that stage of the day.
Yeah.
That's not really going to be an issue. But the wide gate is going to be interesting for Espiona, because as we know, she's a little bit interesting. She's got a few little traits that are a bit of a concern. Turning her head doesn't seem to stop her galloping quickly.
No.
It doesn't look pretty. There's a theory going around that she's best when she's able to be smothered up towards the fence and then produced for that run, a la the Golden Pendant.
Yep.
Her run in the Everest was fine. I think she was perhaps a little held up there at a vital stage, but probably didn't cost her a play. She ran up to a mark. That's right. So I've got to go with the up-and-comer Magic Time, because she has that timing about her. 1,400 metres is no worries. And I wouldn't be too concerned about the one time she raced at Randwick over the 1,400 metres up last time. It was on a heavy track off...
But those heavy tracks were
off a heavy
sticky,
track that's right.
Like gluey heavy tracks.
And again, talking to Graham Begg prior to that Nivison race, he was saying that in an ideal world, he would have liked an extra week between those two runs in the autumn. So I'm not going to mark her down for that. Pretty keen on her. How did you see it?
I think the 21 days suits as well.
Yeah.
When you go back through her profile. Look, for me, I did have to mark Espiona favourite. Just coming out of the Everest, purely going back, looking at that race and how many winners it actually does produce through the rest of the preparation. So I had to lean that way with Espiona. With that said, the biggest overlay for me was Roots. Now, she resumed in the Alan Brown, which is a really strong race, rated well relative to the day. The form out of it's been confirmed. And I know she was run to suit, but she just lost her spot prior to the corner and got into a bit of an awkward position. She ran the ninth fastest last 200 of the race, but it was the last couple of bounds that just got me in. She's come in on a really strong base figure. And five-year-old mare, I think this could actually be her best preparation we could possibly see. Mm-hmm. She has a solid second-up profile. Tommy Berry suits her. Good map. So in a race where, look, I think the two favourites are they pick themselves, they're hard to beat. I just thought she was maybe the one that I could probably say she's more a $6.50, $7 chance, and she's about $9, so I could play Roots each way in the invitation. But apart from those three, it gets very, very thin.
A little bit of a forgiving track makes it a bit more interesting as well.
Yeah.
I know Alcohol Free would like that.
Yep.
But we really can't trust her yet. We can't base her on her reputation that she had before the bought the $10 million price tag. We've got to judge her on what we've seen so far. Her run in the Premier was excellent.
Yep.
Her run in the Everest was... Well, she pulled up with heat stress and she went a bit... She did a little bit of work there early to get across outside overpass. So that's a forgive, but at the same time, you can't trust her yet. Opal Ridge, a little bit of sting out wouldn't hurt her. Question on whether she's quite good enough, but we wait and see. She's done nothing wrong. Distance question mark on Parasol.
Yep. I think the top two in the market really find themselves, but I think Roots is value, and I think they're the three. Like, I really struggled to find a fourth pick. Yep. I have to put a fourth pick in, but I struggled to find it.
What was it?
Ruthless Dame.
There you go.
With the
well, the barrier hurts her.
But yeah, just
but it might not. But it might not if they're coming down the outside. So yeah, look, it's a fascinating race. It's pulled together quite a good field. You've got seven horses rated over 100 and one on 99. So good depth to it. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Kieran McAvoy's 2 from 2.
Yep.
And he's on Espiona. So can he continue the golden run?
All right, the fly in the ointment. Now the shortest price favourite on the day. Race 9, number 11, Arctic Glamour in the Calendar Presnell. Mm. Are you with her? Are you against her, Ray?
Well, I'm going with her. I think it's one of these straight bat days at the moment. You know, a lot of the horses seem to pick themselves. How can you fault her? She's gone from a dominant maiden win to a listed win, running away from them. So the mile you wouldn't think would be too much of an issue. Whether barrier one is an issue or not, I don't know. I never think barrier one's a bad.
Yeah, give me barrier one over barrier 12 any day of the week.
That's right. If she lands 5th, 6th in the run like she did in the Reginald Allen, well, you know, Kieran McAvoy will find the right place to go. And well, coming up with dangers, like I mean, at this point of recording, well, I'm not sure where Snowman's going.
Yeah.
If he's out of the way, that might make her a little bit shorter. So I struggled to find a serious danger to her. Ducasse is the one that I came up with as the danger. He's absolutely flying, but having no luck with race maps and getting too far back from wide barriers. Yeah. So I think it's a step Arctic Glamour can take. What price gets put up probably depends on who remains in the opposition and whether Snowman is there or whether there's a serious support for anything else. I can't anticipate any. But I can also see them, you know, specking a few at odds. There are a few horses here that are going okay that,
yeah,
you know, that do look a bit silly prices. But I don't know. How did you see it?
Yeah, no, I'm really keen. Arctic Glamour, look, I've been with her all the way through and I'm not jumping off. Look, I think she's almost, might have ticked into odds on, but I think she should be an odd, clear odds on chance. Look, her maiden win, they don't rate much better than what she did against the day. Then in the original Allen, she actually had to make 2 runs. I thought she was really impressive, put them away with ease there. She can sprint off slow and fast tempos. She's going to be smothered away doing no work. She actually dropped 2.5 kilos off that last start win. That's only going to enhance her sprint and late strength. So I think the 1600 looks really a plus now. Look, yeah, I get the barrier one. She might need a bit of luck, but if you run this race 100 times, how many times does she not get luck? You know, yeah. If she doesn't, that's life. We have to move on. But I think she's clearly the best bet on the day, and I think she's very, very hard to beat.
In reality, there's only 12 runners in the race.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be pretty unlucky not to be able to get out in a mile race.
And if they're edging off, she can just shoot down the inside. Yeah. She's got the strength to be in the inferior, if it is inferior ground.
Well, there's the classic late in the day, Randwick, if the fence is a little bit off. Jim Cassidy was a master at it. You know, you duck along the inside, then come out.
Yep, it's, shoot up, pull out. And you've got Kieran McAvoy, who's ridden that Randwick type of track a million times. So
Can't knock her.
Let's back her and hopefully she wins. I'll be cheering big time. All right, the rapid fire over the odds. Ray, for you?
Yeah, went into the highway for this one. A horse called Super Extreme.
Yep.
I thought he was a nice little price. It was around $10 last I looked. He's had 2 runs back at 1,000, one in a highway where he just basically had a barrier trial from barrier one. And then he stayed at 1,000 metres at Tamworth in an open handicap. And well, it was clearly too short. He dashed down the outside late. He drew barrier one again there. He does a very good Randwick highway form. He's very much a Randwick 1200 metre horse. I think it sets up pretty well. It looks like there'll be a reasonable amount of speed here. Matter of getting the brakes at the right time. But there's a couple of his Randwick performances through his highways early on. So he's got a great turn of foot. I think he's over the odds.
Yeah, for me, I think the market has adjusted now. I thought it was New Marion, race 6, number 2. Completely different setup tomorrow. Just too much to do first up in the Hill Stakes. Restrained from a wide draw. Too far back in a moderately run race. It was just the run he needed. Second up last prep, he ran second to Cascadian in an Australian Cup. Like, that's serious weight for age form. What price Cascadian here? Mm. Gate 1 tomorrow, Adam Hieronymus. Hinged has just come out of the race, so he's going to lead. Gets race shape to suit. I think he should be clear favourite, Numerian. But if you are looking for one, a bit of odds, I do have its second pick in the opening event. His horse has driven me mad. Is Poseidon Ruler. I think it's about $23. Race 1, number 3. I think the favourite is probably tricky to beat, Chief Conductor. But Poseidon Ruler, if you... I can't let it go around at $21. It's just... It's had no luck in a lot of starts, so... Maybe something for it. Under the odds, Ray.
Really struggling for something, I think, is unders at the moment.
Yep.
Race 2 is a race I wouldn't mind putting a line through. So, I think Sebenak came up favourite there. And I know he's not short or anything like that, but is he a 1,000-metre horse?
No, it
might be a 1,000-metre horse. He's only won two races and they've both been at the sprint trip. He's had six goes at 1,200 for duck eggs.
Yep.
Yes, he gets a race shape that looks to suit something running on, but...
Some really good honest on-pace types, Piney River, Kimberley Secrets.
Yeah, they're going to put a bit of pace on. I think something might duck home from behind the pace, but maybe he's under the odds. I'm not really bullish about anything unders this week.
Yeah, me too. I'm a bit like that myself, but I agree with you in the highway. I know Florino's a really nice up-and-coming type, but this is a strong highway. I think there's plenty of chances. I got Bandy's Boy on top. I think the Dramatist could run a race, and Super Extreme, like with yourself, all, those three all had really good hopes. So I thought the Florino was probably pretty well found, and it might get out on race day. Anything out wide?
Didn't really have time to go through anything. I had a quick scan through. Actually, I was speaking to Anna Roper yesterday. She's actually going really well, and she's doing the unusual thing of riding at Randwick for races run at 1 and 3, and then ducking down to Kembla Grange to ride in the last three races there.
Is she?
Yeah.
Wow, so, good on it.
And she did mention that it's going to cost her the ride on a horse in race 3. So I'll mention it. It's a horse called She's a Bad Girl, trained by Damien Lane.
Yeah, I know the horse.
Yeah, Anna rode her to win first up at Musselbrook.
Mm.
And she said that she feels like the horse is ready to win, and she's gutted, I think it was her words, that she wasn't going to be able to be there. But, you know, she committed to riding Chief Conductor in the first, and she's got to ride in the highway before she heads down to Kembla. So that might be one to keep an eye on, all out wide, in race 3 at Kembla. But it's not really so much a tip from me.
Yeah, look, another short one, but I think this will be winning today. Bathurst Race 3, number 2. I'm one of those people that watch replays without sound, so forgive me on my pronunciation here. Can we get this up? Race 3, number 2. Fimazu. That's a dead set shocker. That can be completely wrong. I'm sorry.
Fimazu. Yeah, look, I'd go with that without knowing.
Oh, wow.
Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
Fimazu,
yeah. Yeah, I think we can wait on it. I think it'll get out. This podcast will be out in time. So race 3, number 2, Fimazu. I thought it was a tremendous debut there at Orange. It gets to the 1,200 now at Bathurst. I think it'll be hitting the line really hard. So that'll be my bet for Friday. But most importantly, best bets on the weekend.
Magic time for me in the invitation. Race 8, number 7. Pretty keen on her chances. Otherwise, I think I'll wait till the last.
Yep.
And go with Fall for Cindy in the last.
Yep.
Very appealing form lines around her. She got within half a length of Sequestered first up.
Yeah.
As we know, that's pretty good form. And then she converted with a dominant win at midweek level at Warwick Farm, starting $1.60 and running right up to it. She stays at the 1,400 metres, which suits her. I think she's a horse that's always shown a little bit of promise, and it's just a perfect setup for her in a race that really doesn't have much to it, I thought. And you know, Gringotts is favourite, and you know, I wouldn't say it shouldn't be favourite. It's just looks to have had its chance in yep. its couple of runs. So yeah, four for Cindy, the other one for me.
Yeah, two best bets for me over the weekend, including today. Both short odds, which I don't really like doing, but I think they're both very, very hard to beat. And back them both, and I'm going to take them in a double as well. So that's Randwick, race 9, number 11, Arctic Glamour, and Bathurst, race 3, number 2, Fimazu. I think both of those are really good bets, and as I said, take them in the double. Hopefully we can get a result on a good day's racing out there tomorrow.
Sounds good, yep. Hopefully another big day. Then we go into Golden Eagle week.
Yes.
And then the big dance is upon us.
Can't wait for the Eagle. So many ways to look at that.
It's race. Great to see that Amelia's Jewel's coming up.
Yep.
That'll add a little bit, another dimension to it. Can she fire at the Sydney way of going with the blinkers?
Yep.
Do you trust that she's 100%? I mean, I know Simon Miller wouldn't be bringing her if she's not 100%, but she had that mishap or issue or whatever it was that caused her failure in the Toorak, where for the first time ever, something's gone past her in a race.
Yeah.
That's something we'll talk more about obviously next week when we get to the Golden Eagle, but it's great to have her here. It's going to be a fantastic race, and more importantly, hopefully there's 10 winners from you and me tomorrow.
Absolutely. That's the key to it. Need the bank for next week. All right. Thanks for listening in, everyone, and hopefully you back a few winners there tomorrow at Randwick.